The Book of Lamentations, an overview. You remember that this is just a series of thoughts on the Book of Lamentations. It's not a serious exposition in great detail, but I want to get a broad view of it, and I start with an overview of the book. Well, one can only expect after the Book of Jeremiah that we should have the Book of Lamentations. Lamentations is a poem. The prophet is writing his lamentations. He's speaking for himself, I think. But I think, above all, he is speaking for Jerusalem, for Judah, for the desolation and the anguish and the torment and the suffering and the pain that the people have gone through. We can't see it in English, but there is the Hebrew letter acrostic construction in some of these parts here. And as I say, it's a poem. Perhaps the best commentary on the Book of Lamentations is Psalm 137. Let me just read you the first few verses. By the rivers of Babylon we sat down and wept, when we remembered Zion. There, on the poplars or the willows, we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. It's like the Nazi guards making the Jews in the Holocaust dance and sing and play. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Of course, place, Jerusalem, the temple, very highly significant in the days of the Old Covenant. Today there are no places, there are no temples and the rest of it. Nevertheless, the principle is clear. Captivity and exile meant suffering for the people of God and desolation for Jerusalem, for the cause of God, for the name of God, for the work of God, for the covenant of God. Now, the Book of Lamentations is largely what it says, a book of lamentations. But there are some gems of hope and light and beacons of joy in the Book of Lamentations, and of course people remember those. About chapter 3, verse 21, there comes this break, there comes this switch of gear, this change of gear, this move from desolation and sorrow into hope and some measure of rejoicing. But the book spells out what has gone on. It is the Lord's doing. It's not simply Babylon. The Lord has taken steps to bring judgment upon Judah. And why? Because they have broken his covenant, they've gone away from his law, they've gone to paganism and idolatry. The cause is set out here in the Book of Lamentations. And the remedy is there, to return to the Lord in repentance and reformation, to seek his mercy. It's all explained here. It's all set out. It's a challenge to the people to face their reality. It's making them sense it and see it, and they're crying out, and it's giving words for them. It's expressing it in these poems, the reality of their sufferings and the desolation of Jerusalem. It's not simply the people's sufferings. Jerusalem is groaning under this. And of course, I've been trying to make application through the Book of Jeremiah, and again, we must do the same through the Book of Lamentations. It's not simply us who will suffer. We. It's not simply unbelievers that will suffer if we continue with this worldliness in the churches. If the judgment of God shall fall, then the cause of God and the name of God, the work of God, the gospel of God, that too goes down with us and with the judgment. But there is something above all which challenges me in the Book of Lamentations, and it's this general point. I have spoken much of confronting, the necessity of confronting the evil and the corruption and the apostasy of the day. And I stand by that. But I'm struck with Jeremiah, I'm struck with Christ, I'm struck with the apostle, with Paul. What do I mean? Remember what Paul said to the Philippians, chapter 3, verse 18. I tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross. When he had to confront, when he had to challenge, he didn't rejoice in the fact of it. He didn't delight in it. He didn't rub his hands in it. He wasn't happy about it. He could only do it weeping. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, even as it rebuked Jerusalem, 23 of Matthew. And Jeremiah, he's been a most confrontational prophet. Praise God for it. But here he is lamenting. What a word. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and we wept. And Jeremiah is a weeping preacher. This, I tell you, has rebuked me. Over and over, it's cut me very deeply here. It's all very well to be a confrontational preacher, but oh, to weep over those who are the ones we have to confront. To weep over sinners for their salvation. To weep over the churches and the saints for any declension from the gospel. It's one thing to write against it, it's one thing to challenge it, it's one thing to confront it. And praise God, it has to be done, and praise God for those who do it. But oh, for the motive of Jeremiah, Paul, and above all, Christ, weeping, weeping, lamenting. That is a challenge to me, brother, sister. Is it a challenge to you? May God give us grace to rise to it, or to descend to it, whichever the right way is. May we come to it. May we be those who can confront and will confront, but not delight in our confrontation, but weep that we have to do it for the necessity. Necessity is laid upon me, I tell you, even weeping. This is the Book of Lamentations. No wonder it's not popular, but we need lamenting preachers. Not lamentable preachers, but lamenting preachers. Preachers who will weep even as they confront. Those who will preach the gospel with tears. It was said in Whitfield, he rarely preached without weeping over his congregation. God, raise up such men again. We need such preachers in our generation. And may God grant it to us. May he help us as we go through the Book of Lamentations. May we learn lessons and be brought closer to Christ and learn what it means to come into judgment. And may it stir us to obedience and serving Christ with all our hearts, with the right motive, for Christ's sake. Amen.